Support for this podcast comes from the Peabody Essex Museum, presenting Ethiopia at the Crossroads. On view now. Find out more about the exhibition at PEM.org.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
We share your
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Tony Award-winning actress and singer Idina Menzel made her name on Broadway in the huge hits Rent and Wicked, and she didn't stop there. She's in the movies, now on TV, and has put her own songs on the pop charts. This hour, On Point, Broadway actress, singer, songwriter Idina Menzel. You can join the conversation. Is this your Broadway star from Rent or Wicked or more? And what's the difference between Broadway singing and the anthems of the top 40? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now in the studio is Idina Menzel. She was part of the original young cast as Maureen that made Rent a Broadway sensation. She won a Tony for her role as the Wicked Witch of the West, the green-tinted Elphaba in the Broadway smash Wicked. She's released three solo albums. The latest is I Stand. You might have seen her in the movie Enchanted or in this season's hit TV series Glee. This week she's in Boston to help launch the 125th season of the Boston Pops. Idina Menzel, it's great to have you here.
I'm so glad to be here.
We heard all this ensemble singing, but we want to get your sound in our ears right away. Here's a song that an awful lot of people will know. This is Defying Gravity from the Broadway production of Wicked.
I'm through accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love I guess I've lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost. I said I might defy gravity. Kiss me good.
Glenda, come with me. Think of what we could do together.
Idina Menzel with Defying Gravity, talking there with Kristen Chenoweth playing Galinda, the Good Witch of the North. Wow, when my 15-year-old daughter found out I was talking to you today in the studio, she was absolutely agog.
You got
just
some points,
agog.
Huh?
Oh, major points. You are one huge figure in this world. My goodness. I don't really understand.
I don't get it either.
Well, no, I get that part. But you're with me in the studio. You are not that big.
Does
size matter in bringing on the big sound? Does it matter at all? Can you be, I don't know, 4 foot, 6 feet tall, which you're not?
But well, Kristen is. Well, she's not 4 feet six. She'd kill me for saying that. But, you know, size. Well, I mean, some of my favorite singers are big black women who are, and I think that the body,
but their size
the
might help
acoustics,
them, but you don't have that size. And
well,
still, you're known as, among many things, a belter.
Yes.
Like,
no, I'm like 5'6", and okay. I think I'm rather curvy and got some, especially after having a baby, I have a little extra weight on me these days.
Hey, why not?
But no, I guess it really doesn't matter. I never understood that, actually. I'd like to speak to some scientists about the structure of people's bodies and their vocal cords and why I sound different than someone else. What is it in there? Because when I go to the doctor, actually, mm-hmm. if I have a cold, I love to see what he shows me on the,
mm-hmm,
on
the screen. The camera.
Yeah, and my cords look exactly like someone else's, you know, at first glance.
Did
so
it always
so
come out that way? I mean, when you were, I don't know, 9 years old, 10, 12, 15, whenever you started singing, did it always come out big or did you learn to belt?
I always had some kind of voice, but I definitely trained and learned how to breathe and to harness the sound. And then through the years, doing 8 shows a week, had to really learn how to sing technically correct so that I could, you know, have the stamina and the endurance to get through the week.
And then there's this question, which I want to look at with you some during this hour, which is there's the Broadway kind of singing, and then there's the pop singing.
Yes.
Now, you sound like a voice that could cross over very easily, and you have, and you have. And yet people talk about, when I sort of dove into things here, began looking around, people talk about how there's these two camps. There's your Broadway camp, and there's your pop or rock camp, and there are assumptions about one another. I want to talk with you about those, but let's hear a little bit from the other side of your career. This is your Idina Menzel's 2008 album, I Stand. It's her third solo album. Debuted at 58 on the Billboard 200, so you're in there. Here's the title track, I Stand.
The road less travel, will it set us free? 'Cause we're taking it slow, these tiny legacies. I don't try and change the world, but what will you make of me? I stand for the power to change. I live for the perfect day. I love till it hurts like crazy. I hope for the hero.
Idina Menzel's I Stand, title track from her 2008 album. So there you are. And, you know, I mean, I don't know whose company you might put yourself in, but you've got that pop anthem sound. It's, you know, and, you know, I don't know, Beyonce and Mariah Carey, and you can go on and on naming the people. And yet I've read you saying that you imagine yourself in your career growing old on Broadway, not on that side of the fence.
No, why? I'd love to be on that side of the fence. I would love to, but it's been some kind of conundrum for me. I don't know if it's a stigma that happens if you get your start in Broadway, that the pop world doesn't accept you. They think you're sort of one sound, one kind of singer. It's changing a lot these days with shows like Glee and things like that. But the days of the Barbra Streisand or Liza Minnelli, where this is sort of could flip back and forth.
Bette Midler.
Yeah, Bette Midler, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's sort of having, I think it's having a hit from a Broadway show. The pop music used to be songs from Broadway shows back in the 40s,
in the
50s.
Day.
Yeah, and it's not like that anymore. It's really hard to have that. And so that was something I really aspire to do, but I've still struggled with. But the one thing I try to do is have my sound be as consistent as possible, no matter where I am, so that someone knows it's me, and I try not to...
So you don't shift when you move from Broadway to the LA recording studio.
Exactly. There's stylistic things that you have to do. But one major thing I notice is that, you know, I write my own music. So when people listen to my pop albums, that's coming from, you know, my own melodies. That's not another composer's sort of shape of me. And so it really that brings out the idiosyncratic kind of things and
more personal.
Yeah.
It's not the vision of a Broadway.
I'm not in a character
right.
as well. You know, I'm myself. It's an autobiography. So that's also something, you know, so how can you maintain your own sound that I've worked so hard to develop
on stage
and then bring a character and you have to on a Broadway musical,
I
you know,
see,
you
yeah.
need to kind of infuse that woman that you're playing, but also hold on to that consistency of style.
Between the two characters that you're best known for, that is Maureen, the sort of in-your-face lesbian character in Rent,
yes.
and Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West, not so wicked in the beginning, in Wicked. Does one of those roles sound more Broadway to you than the other?
I mean, they're both contemporary musicals. They're both contemporary. They're both pushing the envelope in the Broadway world. They've both been groundbreaking in that sense. Not really, no. And because the The thing about both of them, the common denominator is that mm-hmm. I was part of those shows for years early on in their development. So I stood at the piano with mm-hmm. Stephen Schwartz, with Jonathan Larson, and it gets developed for you as mm-hmm. the artist. So mm-hmm. that's why they can become, you don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. You know, it's like the character, me, where the keys right. are set exactly for my voice. Mm-hmm. And so that's just the most thrilling thing for me and why I would love to continue to do that. But it's also harder. You know, you can't just jump into a revival. You have to, you know, it takes 5-6 years for a musical to
develop
to
from the ground,
fruition.
From
yeah,
sort of
exactly.
ground up. Mm-hmm. But do you feel yourself pouring yourself any less into a character than into a, here's my song, I, Idina Menzel, have written this, and now I'm going to sing it for you?
No, it all comes from that same place for me. It's all comes from fear. No, I'm just kidding.
The microphone's on. You got to sing.
Yeah, yeah. It's about being an artist and exposing yourself, whether it be in my lyrics, in my music, or being in the skin of this character. It's still, you know, me, a woman. I was going to mm-hmm. say a young woman. I'm not mm-hmm. so young anymore. But
pretty young.
Being up there on stage and being in front of an audience and letting people see into your soul. Scary.
Did it feel that way right from the get-go when you were doing the wedding singing and all the rest?
Wedding singer, yeah. No, that's the thing that, you know, when we're kids, we're so fearless, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
I've developed so many little nervous things, you know, that as an adult, and the more successful you get, do you find that you get more heady, you know, more neurotic because you have more riding on everything?
I wouldn't know. And since I do every day, I can't even think about it. You probably can't either, doing shows 8 days a week. We've got Idina Menzel with us this hour and very pleased to have her. You can join the conversation. Have you followed the remarkable career of Idina Menzel? Do you see her as Maureen in Rent or Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West in Wicked? What is it about this singer that brings the house down? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Here she is with Minuet, 1998. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Broadway star, actress, singer, and songwriter, the Tony Award-winning Idina Menzel, star of Rent and Wicked and Enchanted, now appearing in the Fox TV series Glee. She's with me in the studio. Oh, what a presence. You can join the conversation. What is it about this singer that brings the house down? Have you followed her push into pop music? And why is it so rare for Broadway singers to cross over? And then maybe this, are we in a national revival of singing from American Idol to Glee? What's brought singing back? Idina Menzel created the role of Maureen in the Broadway hit Rent. She was right out of school, I think, when she went into that. We'll ask her about it. Here she sings Over the Moon as Maureen in Rent. It's a protest performance piece after the landlord threatens eviction.
Only thing to do is jump over. It's like I'm being tied to the hood of a yellow rental truck, being packed in with fertilizer and fuel oil, pushed over a cliff by a suicidal Mickey Mouse. I've got to find a way to jump over the moon. Only thing to do is jump over the moon.
Then good Lord. How many days were you hoarse after that?
What did you say?
Did you lose your voice
that? You can hear I was losing my voice during that time.
You were literally at, I think, NYU's Tisch School when this was being put together. Were you recruited right out of there? Did you audition out of school?
No, I think there was a year or two in between there, college, where I still was doing the weddings and auditioning for things and, still searching. And then, but this was my first professional job.
Yeah. A show that would scoop up so many young actors and singers. Your husband, Taye Diggs, included. You were in that first cast together,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we were flirting shamelessly in rehearsal.
Well, that's the way. That's what we hear is supposed to be. It's supposed to be. Let's go to Michelle calling from West Hartford, Connecticut. Michelle, you're on the air with Idina Menzel.
Hi, Idina.
Hi, Michelle.
Sweetheart, you are awesome. I just want you to know that the real talent is on Broadway. I mean, these pop stars, it's all about marketability. And you really don't have to be that good to be marketable. You do have to have a visual presence. But the real talent, I found out, is on Broadway, when you can belt out a song like that without all the technology behind you and the sound check and the mic and all this stuff.
But Michelle, if I may, I'm sitting here with Idina Menzel, and as you probably well know, she is like about as marketable as it gets if you're talking about Hubba Hubba. So,
No. I understand that.
I got you.
You got what I'm saying?
Totally, yeah.
That you have is something that they don't even want to waste time with.
Yeah, I mean, you know what else I don't have? I can't dance. So if you put background singers behind background dancers, I would look like such
an
idiot.
You're not doing Put a Ring on It or one of those? No?
If I have to dance in a Broadway show, they have to sequester me with a private choreographer and teach me for a month 8 counts that everybody learned in 2 seconds.
Anyway, I just wanted you to know that you are awesome and keep doing it.
I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you understanding that it is about live performance, and that's what I love about it. And that's what I'm hoping that these shows that are coming, into vogue, I guess, are...
Glee, American Idol, all the rest of them.
They're really
out there singing.
Hipping the audiences to the fact that there's a real discipline to being able to do this.
Do you see that discipline on the pop side? Michelle's kind of skeptical, it's computer enhanced and everything else.
Well, there are the people that can really sing, like Mariah Carey and Beyonce. And I mean, they really can do it, and they can do it live. But there are that side of people that, get fixed in the studio and then they got to be careful when they, they're on a live talk show or whatever. But
your fans are beating on the door here. Pocatello, Idaho. Beth, you're on the air with Idina Menzel.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that my husband and I saw the version of Chess that you did.
Oh, yeah, in London.
And absolutely loved it. We bought 2 copies.
Oh, thanks.
I sent one to my brother in New York for Christmas, and it was fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
We really enjoyed that. Thank you so much. We've been big fans of yours for a long time, and the power in your voice is just amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Beth. What was Chess? Tell us about that.
It was like a concert version of Chess in London, where it originated, and it was with Josh Groban.
Forgive me, I don't know Chess. Is that a show?
Yeah, it's a musical that really didn't do that well.
Okay.
Back then, but people are crazy fans about the music, and so we kind of took the book out of it and we just sung through it.
This is the Royal Albert Hall.
Yes.
Okay. Now I know.
A huge. A remarkable place, and that I got lost backstage, by the way, trying to find my way on stage, running around in a gown and 3-inch heels.
Help me.
Yeah, exactly. And I missed a cue at one point because I couldn't find my way to stage right. But that's besides the point. So it was Josh Groban and Adam Pascal, who was in Rent with me as well. Mm-hmm. And it was just a blast. We did it in 8 days, and we just had so much fun.
What do you make of the audiences in London? And you've done a fair amount of work there compared to the U.S. Broadway.
You know what? They're not that different. When I went there to open Wicked, which I did a couple years ago, everyone warned me, these are going to be more reserved audiences. Don't expect them to jump to their feet. We changed some things in the script of Wicked just because we didn't think that they'd it would resonate with them. And they are so effusive. They're really great.
Even there?
Yeah.
It's all over. Let's hear a little more from Wicked. This is Idina Menzel as Elphaba singing I'm Not That Girl in the Broadway production of Wicked. She sings about how she'll never be like her friend, Galinda, the Good Witch of the North.
Hands touch, eyes meet, sudden silence, sudden heat, hearts leap in a giddy whirl. He could be that boy, but I'm not that girl.
wicked.
Idina Menzel as Elphaba in Wicked. Did you dream of being a Broadway star as a girl, a teenager?
Yeah, I did. It was my first. My parents used to bring me to Broadway when I was really young. My first show was actually not what you'd think. It was Bob Fosse's All That Jazz, mm-hmm. which was sort of risque. I don't know mm-hmm. why they brought me to that.
What the heck? It's Broadway. Let's go.
But then it was Annie and Peter mm-hmm. Pan and Dream Girls, which up until through college I thought I could be in. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me I couldn't be in Dream Girls. But yes, so I always wanted to be on Broadway. Then that kind of changed a little bit when I became the wedding singer and started singing all this other kind of music and listening to all different kinds of music. And I started to write my own music. And mm-hmm. then I wanted to, have my own band and mm-hmm. record and all that for a while.
The narrative arc in all of your bios on the web is your parents get divorced when you're 15. Uh-huh. And you need spending money, so you become the bar mitzvah and wedding singer.
Yeah, really young.
Yeah. When you first began to do that, was you saw it as a way station to Broadway, or you'd had no idea? Or
no. You remember how we used to have those bank books? You'd go in, and if you took out $100, it'd
write. They'd actually write the balance. Yeah. I don't know. I had one as a kid.
For me, it was about watching that little number go up and having my own little savings.
Mm-hmm.
And
25, 30, 100, 50.
Yeah, I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I got paid, I think, $100 for a Friday night was the first amount of money I made. Mm-hmm. And it was about just learning all the music. And what was the first song I sang was Ice Castles or something. Do you remember that song?
No.
Please don't let this feeling end. Oh. It might not come again.
Oh my gosh. That's back
that
there.
That was really good. Yes, I'm dating myself.
What else is back on your playlist
Flash
from
dance.
The Wedding Singer Days? Flash Dance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evergreen was one of my, favorites.
How's
I always had to do
again?
My barbershop.
Are
you just trying to get me to sing?
Yes, I am.
What else did I do? But it was all Whitney Houston, Madonna.
And you took requests?
Yeah, but at first I didn't know enough songs. A really good wedding singer would have about 200 songs on her song list.
Yeah.
I had about 10. I had one bossa nova, one Motown, one, pop tune. And then I just kept, every week I try to learn as many as I could.
What did you learn about audiences, about human beings from doing that? You'd be right there in the little hot, sweaty room, right?
Yes.
So you'd see the reaction very intimately.
Yeah, you really watch family dynamics are really interesting. All different things, the kind of relationship or wedding I wanted to have, the kind I didn't. For a long time, I didn't want to have a typical wedding at all, because when you see it from the kitchen entrance out.
Right.
You get a sort of...
with too much crazy sweating over the chicken salad?
You see people freaking out over their day. They're not enjoying mm-hmm, themselves. Mm-hmm. They're busy trying to introduce everyone to everyone. Some brides are crazy. The groom gets too drunk. And, you see all that stuff.
So what did you do in the end? You married Taye Diggs. Every woman I know goes, when they think of Taye Diggs. What kind of wedding did you have?
Actually, we had a more conventional wedding than I thought
you
I would.
You did it, after all.
We did go to Jamaica, though. We had a Destiny wedding, and we flew about 60 people. We didn't fly everybody uh-huh. there, but we had about 60 people in Jamaica. Actually, at the place where he had his first film role, Stella Got a Groove back.
Yeah, they were so nice. As a young, beautiful guy.
Yeah, it's a beautiful resort. So everyone went there, and I actually had my best friend who was a wedding singer and at that point had her own company, mm-hmm. and she came and brought her musicians
and
did
sang
a great
for you.
Job. With me. I got up there. We had a great time.
You've got to do it. You're the wedding singer.
Yeah.
Dallas, Texas. Jane, you are on the air with Idina Menzel.
Mm.
Hi.
Oh, I'm so excited. Idina, I adore your voice, and I'm a soprano. And but I sing with Wicked all the time.
Thank you.
Especially with you, because you are so expressive, and you from pain to I'm going to take on the world and I can do anything. you're just totally, totally amazing. And
Thank you.
I'm so excited that you write your own music. I'm going to go out and buy your CDs, because you do write your own music. I mean, that is so rare for a Broadway star to have that ability. So
thank you.
I'm just honored to talk to you, and Wicked is my absolute favorite musical. And,
thank you so much.
Keep up the singing. I know your voice anywhere.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Jane, thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Michael in Newton, Massachusetts. Michael, you're on the air with Idina Menzel.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Idina.
Hi, Michael.
I have to say, how you doing? I have to say, many years ago, I was down in New York with my wife at the time, and just for like a little retreat from Boston, and I asked the concierge at the hotel what shows he might recommend, and he gave me three shows. One of them was Wicked. It had Joel Grey at the time, and I said, okay, give me what's Wicked about? Told me it's the backstory of the Wicked Witch, and, you know, it's getting mixed reviews.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, well, we'll go see it. I got to tell you, I am not a sucker for, you know, like schmaltzy stuff. When you sang Unlimited, the hair on my arm stood up. I was absolutely blown away. The themes of these two strong women, the kind of scapegoating, the story was absolutely incredible. You were unbelievable in
Thank
that
you.
Show. And since then, I've just been, first of all, I can't understand how it got mixed reviews. It's insane.
It ended up in pretty good shape, I'd say.
Yeah, they're making back on that. But I think it was because there was so much news about how big a budget we had. And so people were kind of hating on us a little bit.
I have to say, just coincidentally, I live around the corner from Gregory Maguire, who wrote
Wicked.
Just as a coincidence. I don't know him, but
he's
fascinating. In my hometown of Concord. But keep doing the good work. You were absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for calling. Did you know that, whatever the reviews, did you know you were onto it with Wicked? Do you know that
I think we knew, Kristen and I knew there was something really special about it. Yeah. We didn't know to what extent it would really connect with people. But the one thing we didn't know was how much it would connect with young people, young girls.
Why do you think that happened? Because it's about finding character.
Yeah, and finding it's empowering, and my character is, you know, all about embracing what makes you different. And I think young teenagers, I mean, that's what people struggle with all the time, and about not fitting in, being the cool thing as opposed to the homogenized version of you know, high school that everyone has to deal with. So that's what we didn't realize. We thought it was this witty, really great, smart story, and the adult would love it because of the Wizard of Oz. But we didn't realize that the girls and young boys would love it so
much. And they still line up as it tours. Do you feel a sense of ownership forever when you've been on the ground floor of a musical like that, of a part of the whole musical, in a sense, when it's still out there? I don't know where it's traveling.
Feel a real sense of responsibility. I did when I was in the show. I felt, you know, that...
To what?
Well, I wanted to, no matter how sick I was, I wanted to get up there. I didn't want to be absent, you know, and disappoint the young girl coming from, you know, Wisconsin, whatever. I just, I felt a responsibility to those fans. I don't know, I just...
That's the old Hoofer ethic.
Yeah. Well, there's... Yeah, there's only so much you can do when you're really sick, especially like one night I got up singing Defying Gravity, and I was literally singing the words, you know, so if you care to find me, look to the western, and I'm flying, and then all of a sudden my voice dropped. I was really sick, and my chorus just had nothing left, and they just dropped an octave, and I was singing about being so high in
Did
the
you
world,
the
and
show?
I was like,
you
I went like this, so if you care to find me. It was the most humiliating experience of my life. It's probably on YouTube somewhere, and a bunch of people
What
are
do you do then? You walk off, have a glass of salt water, and come back on? I don't know.
No, that particular one, I had to leave in the middle of the show, which is a rare thing. But if I kept singing, I would have like damaged my voice for a long time.
Idina Menzel is with us. What a pleasure to have you here. Listeners, you can join us. Here she's singing Gorgeous from the album I Stand. Reached the top 5 on Billboard's Hot Dance Music Club play charts for the week of March 15th, 2008. What's your question from Idina Menzel on the life on and off the stage? 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Broadway star, actress, singer, and songwriter, the Tony Award-winning Idina Menzel, star of Rent and Wicked and Enchanted, now appearing in the Fox TV series Glee. She's in the studio with me. You've stepped onto the set of Glee, which has become this big hit on Fox TV.
Yes.
Evidence, some would say, of this revival of interest in song and singing. I mean, Glee Club sounds like something from 1926, and here it is, 2010. We've got a little bit here to listen to. Here's a bit where you play the rival coach. You're the coach of the singing group Vocal Adrenaline. Your character is Shelby Corcoran. And, of course, I think you're in the other school from the Will Schuster character. He's the big coach of the Glee Club.
Yeah, he comes to our school to find out what we're up to. And then
because you're rivals in the singing universe.
Yes, and then there's this quick edit, so all of a sudden we're making out. It's a quick cut. It's very abrupt.
So a little lock eyes for a minute,
yes.
and then lock more. Let's listen. She's making out with Will Schuster, played by Matthew Morrison. But that is cut short when he realizes that it's too much, too fast. He realizes. So they move to the kitchen to talk.
I spend every waking moment thinking about Vocal Adrenaline. I have no life. I haven't been on a date in 3 years.
There you go.
Thanks. I did lie to you earlier. I do know who you are. I saw you at our fall invitational. I thought you were really cute.
You know, I know what you mean about being obsessed with work. I'm so committed to the Glee Club, and I think it played a big part in ending my marriage.
How long have you been divorced?
Not really divorced yet. And then I started dating someone I really care about, but it isn't working for some reason.
Oh, you're already seeing someone else and you were just making out with me.
I'm kind of a mess.
Yep, kind of a mess. Idina Menzel and Matthew Morrison there in Glee. So, what's the difference? Stage? TV? Little screen?
Yeah. God, what's
the difference? And you haven't sung yet. Everybody's waiting for that.
Yes, I will sing in a couple weeks. I'll be back. I don't know. I just love kind of being able to vacillate because it kind of keeps you fresh, you know. You have to learn all these different techniques and stuff and sort of know where your volume is.
Lower than on stage.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
It sounds easier to a civilian, an outsider like me, but I don't know. I mean, you don't have to have all that stage discipline.
You're not
projection.
Trying to get the back row, and yet the camera's right there, so everything can be more in your eyes. And yet, Glee has got a very specific tone. It's kind of campy sometimes, and it is theatrical. So it's you really got to trust the director to know where you lie in there.
Is the style of direction different with that kind of nuance? Are you getting a different kind of coaching from the director of Glee than you would from a Broadway show?
Well, a Broadway show, you're sitting around for 5 weeks with the cast and the director, and or
working
years in
up.
My case. But, you know, you get like 5 weeks when you really sign on to the actual production. And on television and film, usually it's very little rehearsal and you just show up on set and block it out and go.
Now, the rumor is that you're going to be outed as the biological mother of a mini Menzel character in Glee.
I don't know how I feel when everybody's saying Lee is the younger version of me. That's tough to take.
Well, somewhere you said you felt like this is Leah Michele, and who plays Rachel Berry.
Uh-huh, yes.
And I read you saying you felt like her older sister.
That
would make her younger.
She's still younger, yeah. Well, she is younger, my God. She's 23,
right.
24 years old,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not allowed to talk about plot, of course. It's top secret.
Yes.
But I do get to sing a duet with Leah, and it's really fun. And we know each other from New York anyway. So we've had a really good time on set together, and it's been a compliment that people say I look like her because I think she was very pretty girl.
Well, works both ways. Joan in Salt Lake City, Utah. Joan, you're on the air.
Hey, I am so excited to be able to speak to Idina. My husband and I have been fans of yours since you played Maureen in Rent.
Thank you.
And you've clarified some of the questions that I have, especially about Glee, because when we saw that you were going to be making a guest appearance, it was the obvious storyline that needed to come out. I mean, seriously. And you're both beautiful women. But the story that I have is I have a daughter who lives in New York, and she actually stood in line various times to get your autograph and Christian Chenoweth's autograph on a poster of Wicked to give to my husband for his 50th birthday.
For so your husband?
My husband. Oh my
Why didn't your husband wait online for the autograph?
We live in Salt Lake, and she lives in New York.
Oh, okay. That's forgivable then.
we had seen you in Wicked like two or three times already, and the only thing that my daughter could think of getting for his 50th birthday was a signed poster of Wicked. And so I have your autograph sitting in my basement, and he's going to be so jealous because I actually got to speak to you.
Your autograph in a basement in Salt Lake City. Joan, thank you very much
for
your call.
Joe.
Thank you. Let me get one from Houston, Texas. Michael, you're on the air, Michael.
Hi, Adina. I just recently, I've been married for about 5 years, and my wife and I just love Wicked. My question for you today is, how is it that y'all do so many shows whenever you come to a city like in Houston? Oh, my gosh, I think y'all did like 15 or 20 shows. One after another. How in the world do you keep it up?
It's technique. It's really training. For me, it's training with a teacher I've had since college. I still go to her. I even call her on the phone sometimes and go over some phrasing of a song that's bothering me. But it's about breathing, technique, and it's about knowing your body and how to pace yourself. And
can you tell, for example, if you're starting to sing in a way that will strip your voice out?
Yeah, I can feel it now. But back in Rent, when you you played that little
that
excerpt,
shout scene,
there was some stuff going on there that wasn't healthy for me, and I had to figure that out quickly because my voice was starting to deteriorate. So,
did you really do that 8 times a week? What we heard?
Yeah,
there?
But then I really started to see some inflammation on my cords,
so you and found
that's
a different
when I had
way
to,
of doing it. Or
I hadn't been going to my teacher for a little while, and that's when I realized I sort of had slacked off and needed to go back and look at all those parts in my songs that were really hard for me and figure out how to approach them.
Let's hear a little more from Rent, just because so many people love it so much. You played Maureen. Here's the song Take Me or Leave Me. You and your in the show,
it's
your lesbian lover,
duet.
Right? Joanne, that's Freddie Walker.
Yeah. So,
you've got a fight. Joanne can't accept Maureen's flirtatious ways, and Maureen can't deal with Joanne's controlling behavior. Idina Menzel in Rent.
Take me, baby, or leave me. A tiger in a cage can never see the sun. This diva needs her stage, baby. Let's have fun. You are the one I choose. Folks would kill to fill your shoes. Don't waste my time praying. Oh, honey bear, are you still my baby? Take me back.
Idina Menzel in Rent as Maureen. When did you know that you had it, whatever this stuff was? Were they telling you that? Was the coach you're talking about in school?
Mm-hmm.
Were people saying to you, you've got it, Idina, just hang in there, you're going to be big? Or is it always kind of a mystery until it happens?
Well, everybody always said I had a really great voice from the time I was a little girl. So everybody, including my parents, always encouraged me. So I feel like I've been supported my whole life. I always knew it was something that I wanted to do it, you know, even when I was sitting there at those weddings feeling really discouraged and like, am I ever going to get out of here, as I was singing Hot, Hot, Hot for the 2000th time.
Please.
I always had a good feeling that I was going to get to do something beyond that. But, you know, I just kept plugging away and trying to enjoy what I was doing at the time.
Do you sing for fun? Do you sing when you're alone?
Yeah, especially now I have a baby. My husband and I sing the most ridiculous songs over and over and over.
What kind of singer is Taye Diggs?
Oh, he's a gorgeous singer. He's like a baritone. He trained classically in college, and then he's got the R&B thing. And but he never takes credit. He thinks I'm the singer in the house. He doesn't like to refer to himself as a singer, and that frustrates me.
You've got a little baby boy.
Yes, Walker.
Walker, uh-huh. Diggs. What do you sing to him? I'm trying to get you to sing for us.
Give us
the lullaby.
It's my concerts now. I'm doing something. I took
Hush,
one of
little
my
baby.
Songs.
What is it?
Well, we sing the oldies and we sing new songs. But in my concert, I'm singing a song called "Good Morning, Walker." That's a song that I wrote for him, and I ended up, you know, working it up with the orchestra, which is fun. So I'll leave that for people to come see in the concert. But we've done, we have this rap that we came up with when baby was like...
Does that put him to sleep? I don't think so.
No, when they're like a month, 2 months, they're making all these faces you don't know what they're for.
Right.
It was like, why are you making that face of me? Why are you making that face of me? Is it because you're making baby poopies? Why are you making that face of me?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what Broadway stars do at home.
It's very sophisticated.
That's great. Philip in Savannah, Georgia. You're on the air with Idina Menzel.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Idina.
Hi.
I was calling about Enchanted, where you had Idina Menzel and Jodi Benson, both phenomenal singers, Disney's first musical in a while, but neither of you sang.
Yeah.
Was there any sense of great irony in that casting? What was the feeling between you three?
I think the director was a huge fan of Wicked, right? So I got, that was the first time I ever got offered a role, and I didn't have to audition. It's amazing.
Hey.
But they actually, once they hired me, they did try to write in a song for my character with James Marsden at the end, and we even shot it. But then I think it just seemed contrived because it just seemed forced. So it got cut. And it was fine with me because I was kind of complimented that I was hired as an actress and not mm-hmm. just, you know, for my singing voice. Mm-hmm. It felt good for me, but I guess it was a little weird for other people.
So, but a funny kind of validation on the acting side of,
totally.
of the aisle there. Philip, thanks for your call. Pat in Boston. Pat, you're on the air with Idina Menzel.
Good. How are you, Tom?
Hi. Good.
Hi. Idina, I've done some work as an arranger, and I remember a singer one time asked me to do some stuff out of Wicked, and I was really impressed both by the songs and by the singing, because as you know, when you work with that stuff, you really live with it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
But my question was more about one of the teasers that Tom put out earlier. What is your impression of the sort of phenomenon that's been brought about by American Idol and to a lesser extent Glee? And let me say where I'm coming from. I'm an instrumental music teacher, and I watch how the kids I see around are singing, and my fear with this approach, you know, very rarely do inventive singers win. What, you know, they're putting out are pretty generic. Who has the biggest voice? Who has the biggest melisma?
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, Ethel Merman or Eartha Kitt or more, you know, recently Bono or Annie Lennox were on American Idol, they'd lose.
Yeah. Maybe not this season, though.
Pardon?
I said maybe not this season. This season they seem to be going more, ever since they let the contestants play instruments, they've welcomed more of an artist vibe as opposed to just sort of vanilla singing. And so I think it's taken a turn for the better this
Still,
season.
Still, you know
and
what
last
Pat's
season.
Talking about.
Yeah.
Let us pick it up. Well, I don't know what he's talking about. What's the biggest melisma?
I've never heard that word. What is a melisma?
I don't know, some kind of singing that, if there's a distinctive sound to what has been winning, like at American Idol, what is that? Is it a way of...
Oh,
He's afraid that it's leading people toward just like big without nuance, not really
exactly.
inventive.
Exactly. No, I don't feel that way. You know, I feel like it's people getting a chance that never would have gotten a chance to be heard before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it's... It just—I—I.
You want to be a judge over there one day, Idina?
I would love to be a judge over there. I'm not answering the question well. I just, you know, I guess I'm a fan of the show because I like people to get that chance, those unknowns. But I know what he's saying. It's just the Bonos, who's one of my favorite. You know, it's about the integrity of the thing, the artistry, and it's hard to do that when you're being asked to do Country Theme Week. You know,
just have to do it
exactly. But I also think that it really, the people that call in and vote. It's the reason why it's so successful is because they're making these instant fans. So then they go out and they put out an album, and everybody buys it.
Off they go. Yeah. Julie in Westboro, Massachusetts. You're on, Julie.
Hi, guys. Hi. I wanted to say a melisma is like a run, you know, the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's when you run the notes.
Oh, thank
when
you.
When those kids are doing that and they're, like, adding all that
Yeah, like they're doing Christina Aguilera.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah, so,
all over.
Yeah, I'm a voice teacher, actually, and I have a studio of, you know, 11-year-olds to teenagers going off to musical theater programs. So it's always fun to hear about the musical theater world because I have so many girls just hyped up on it these days. I mean, crazy town. And I think the reason that my studio just jumped in, like literally kindergartner went off to full day, and I'm like, great, now I can finally get back to myself and having time, mm-hmm. put up some flyers immediately, had a ton of girls. So I think that these shows are absolutely encouraging kids to get involved.
Do they know Idina Menzel, Julie? Do they know her?
They do because they love Wicked.
Right.
They all think they can sing Defying Gravity. And I'm always like, oh, please, let's not start with that one. They're like, oh, but I want to. I'm like, well, but, you know, we can do I'm Not That Girl because that's a little lighter.
Yes.
You can sing that in your head, boy.
I can't even sing Defying Gravity on a certain day.
So Julie, hard. Thanks for your call. Our time is growing short. You're actually breeding a whole generation coming up behind you here. I mean, all these girls are going to be on your heels before you know it.
Oh, I sat in and did like a little talk with some young kids in an arts middle school or something. And mm-hmm. this girl got up and performed for me Defying Gravity at the piano. And I burst into tears. It was the most beautiful thing I'd heard. She had her own little style. It wasn't like she was copying mm-hmm. me exactly. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the best gifts I've ever had from doing that show.
Today they dream. Tomorrow maybe you'll do a duet with them on a
yes,
stage somewhere.
Yes, I'd love that.
It happens. Idina Menzel, it's been absolutely wonderful having you. Thank you very much for coming in today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you. I'm
glad the Boston Pops brought you to town.
This has been fun.
Just great having you. Idina Menzel, Tony Award-winning Broadway actress, singer, songwriter. We'll go out with a little bit from her album, I Stand, 2008. This is Brave. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.